The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, police asked to intensify security patrols, particularly in Accra and Kumasi ahead of Supreme Court ruling. Judges challenge to demonstrate commitment to fight against corruption. Trial of businessman Alfred Agbesi-Woyome takes a long break until October 16 this year. And Britons wake up to news of birth of another royal baby.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news in detail. The executive director of West Africa Network for Peace Building, WANEP, Emmanuel Bombandi, has asked the police to intensify its security patrols in the Greater Accra and Ashanti regions ahead of the Supreme Court verdict. His comments came after his organization released a second quarter report on security, dubbed Human Security Reports, which suggested that the two regions have seen an increase in arms attacks. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Bombandi said the volatility in these two regions require constant attention so as to make it a safe place.
Our peace and our security, number one, requires our collective effort in support of our men and women in the front line, the police service. And so this type of human security reports then help the people of Ghana to see peace and security as something that also requires their contribution, their support in enhancing the work of the police. Secondly, it draws our attention to the fact that when you talk about peace and when you talk about security, it is not something you take for granted on any day. We must continue to work at it, particularly because today, as we speak, we are in a region that is very volatile with new threats that are pervasive. And here, take for example religious extremism that is weighing heavily from the Sahara into the Sahel belt and literally surrounding our country. And when we make studies, what we have observed is that in a country that the citizens are vigilant about their peace and security, it is very difficult for that security to be compromised. But where the people themselves take their security for granted, or they think that their security is something that is given to them only by the agencies of the state, they are sometimes surprised that even in their same communities, people embed themselves as if they are part of the community and turn around to help them. So, Madam, secondly, as I have underscored, the purpose of this report is to keep all of us awake and vigilant, because we are monitoring the indicators, we are monitoring the incidences, and when something like that occurs, then we are easily able to look at the data, we look at the trends, and we advise that let's make sure we are not taking our security for granted. Let's continue to support our men and women in uniform.
Emmanuel Bombandi.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Police Service has again assured Ghanaians of its preparedness to ensure that there is peace and sanity after the Supreme Court verdict. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Director General in charge of Operation COP, John Kudalo, said the service is training its members in the area of public order management, which is most sensitive. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
We started organizing our men as we did in previous events, and so we are ready to continue in the situation. We look at the variables, the possible scenarios, and we are preparing towards them. We've been touring the regions to test the preparedness of our men in the region. So far, we've been to Kumasi, been to Kofodia, then the one for the Accra region, the National Headquarters Operations. So we are on course, and come the day of the verdict, I think we shall be full gear.
When you talk about the fact that you are preparing it, exactly what are you putting in place to ensure that the country remains intact after the verdict is announced?
Yeah, foremost, it's mostly going to be a public order management problem, which we are prepared for, for our operational units and the units tasked in maintaining and public order are all being geared up and undergoing their training with the various implements and equipment for managing public order. And then we have what we call the force continuum. So we are preparing for each scenario and the equipment that goes for it and then the numbers that goes with it.
How are you trying to set that target and remain neutral, firm and fair?
I think you've seen it yourself. We've gone through some few events, at least the elections we were there, and some other public management events in which we have been involved. We have always tried to be neutral. We are the people's police. We are there to protect the law-abiding and peaceful people of this country who are working within the framework of the law. If you don't fall foul of the law, we are not going to pick and choose. We employ all Ghanaians to be law abiding and to be very peaceful, as we all have to send the verdict. And if we do that, I don't think there will be any need to complain about any police action. We're going to embark on a public education any moment from now, as we do during the election.
Director General in charge of operations at the police headquarters, COP John Kidalo, talking to Agatha Samoa.
In other news, a former chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Albert Kandapa, has asked government to introduce a sound accountability mechanism to Ghana's budget cycle. This is to ensure the checks and balances in the public sector financial systems that have been rendered ineffective for various reasons. Speaking at a public forum which discussed financial accountability, the role of Parliament, Mr. Kandapa said a major threat to Ghana's democracy and socio-economic development is poor financial governance.
Any public financial arrangement, like all activities, they are only as good as the checks and balances in them. The checks and balances are weak, and the systems are not weak, the systems they are raising on. And what we have succeeded in doing is to destroy all the checks and balances, all the accountability mechanisms. Why would they people think? The easiest way for most of them is to feel knowing that they will never be lost, because there is no system. When we go abroad, go to UK where there are systems, go to a room where there is a bed, open the salary, but the chances are that it's not there, because we need to go back. I'm sure we've got some CCTV watching it. But if you fight in a similar room in Ghana, you will not get close to TV. So if you see, it's you and your government. But, Chairperson, you can do it. What you think is the one I'm trying to get on this to fight, that the key accountability mechanism in our budget cycle, that the checks and balances in our public and financial systems are all being rendered ineffective. We should move quickly to the next days of public situation. Today, there is a growing level of frustration in our country and growing demand for efficient, transparency and accountability in government and public financial policies. If there is anything that threatens our democracy, it is this corruption, lack of financial accountability. That is what is the real threat to our democracy. Our people continue to demand whether public funds are being utilized to deal with that economy, efficiency and effectiveness, and identity in check, fraud, theft, and corruption. I'm afraid the facts on the ground do not suggest that public funds are being accounted for properly, because key accountability arrangements are not being followed.
Mr. Kandapa asked Parliament to live up to its oversight responsibility of scrutinizing budget statements in a non-partisan manner before the budget is approved.
Parliament must appreciate its oversight role and do it in a non-partisan manner. Parliament is not just about party law. The parliamentary democracy model is that we have a parliament that makes the laws and the policies. We have an executive that executes the laws and the policies. And then we have a parliament that must come back to oversight. When you have a parliamentary democracy where parliament refuses to come back to oversight, you're giving the executive too much role. It will be delayed by all. The obligation to scrutinize the debate and approve the budget is important. Please, let our parliamentarians appreciate it. And let the decision will be a constructive participative sort of agreement.
The Chief Executive Officer of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, believes civil society organizations and the media must continue to put pressure on any government in power who fails to render proper accounts to the taxpayer. He said government always depends on grants from donor countries, which most often goes into paying wages of workers rather than investing it in projects for growth and development.
The problem is that the government spends nearly all the money it receives on paying wages of its employees and has little left to invest in building this cabinet. So how is the government going to pay for all of these workers when already their wages are making it impossible for it to invest in facilities they need to build their capacity? So for example, for many years, that is the target of public workers and full-time employees, but little or no money is paid. So we have all these challenges telling you, country, and you would have thought that ordinarily politicians would be interested in the effects rather than always shouting in the media as to who really has the best. And if we really want good things to happen, we must have the discipline to encourage the things that we want, to encourage more of them.
Chief Executive Officer of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo.
The Chief Justice, Mrs. Georgina Wood, has asked constitutional bodies with responsibility over the judiciary to weed out judges who use their office to engage in acts that undermine the sanity of the state. She said judges caught in the web of corruption cannot champion the fight against the canker. Mrs. Justice Wood, who was delivering a speech on the role of judges in the prevention and control of corruption, money laundering and terrorist financing, was quick to add that there are judges who are not corrupt. She asked the people to expose judges and other officials who engage in these activities. She asked judges to demonstrate their commitment against the war against corruption and declare their assets. Brighton Trauma has more.
Judges from West African countries are meeting in Accra to fashion out modalities to fight corruption, money laundering and terrorist financing. The Accra meeting, under the auspices of the Intergovernmental Action Group Against Money Laundering in West Africa, is to update the knowledge of the judges in the new forms of transnational crime. The Chief Justice, Mrs. Georgina Wood, who was the guest speaker, said West Africa is become notorious for transnational organized crime, which was alien to the continent. She noted that with the exploitation of natural resources such as oil and gas in Africa, the continent runs great risk of becoming an arena for the mobilization of funds for terrorist activities. Mrs. Wood therefore asked judges to maintain the highest integrity of adjudicating cases involving transnational crimes. She asked court users to desist from paying bribes to court officials.
We do have honest, hard-working men and women of integrity in our fold. Only a couple of days ago, I had been compelled inter alia upon a judge's request to transfer a case from her court because a party had sought to bribe her with money. But the critical point I wish to emphasize is that I do not see how any judge caught in the web of corruption can himself or herself convince me that he or she actively champions the fight against the canker. So I call upon constitutional bodies with responsibility over our judiciaries not to shy of removing errant judges who use the high office they occupy and the enormous powers they wield to engage in unwholesome acts that undermine the sanctity of the state. Court users must refuse to pay bribes to court officials and judges, and whistleblowers and citizens alike must be prepared to expose such judges and other court officials who engage in these activities.
She said the first step is for judges to undertake holistic assessment of their performance to identify areas for potential reforms. Mrs. Wood advocated the establishment of an independent judicial appointment body to be at the heart of the judicial selection process. She asked judges to declare their assets in accordance with the Constitution.
As judges, we should demonstrate our commitment to the war against corruption and other transnational crimes by declaring our assets periodically, especially where public officials are required to do so. Appropriate deterrent penalties must exist for violations of these requirements. An independent judicial appointment body should be at the heart of the judicial selection process. An objective, competitive, and transparent appointment of judges ensures that only the highest quality candidates are selected, and further that they do not feel indebted to the particular politician or senior judge who appointed them.
The chief executive of the Financial Intelligence Center, Thompson Issel, said corruption and money laundering render the economies of countries poorer and prone to serious crimes. He said the lack of successful prosecution will continue to keep the phenomenon endemic and fuel the perception that judges are corrupt.
A report by Brighton Trauma.
President Mahama yesterday received a delegation from the Global Leadership Training Institute in the United States of America at Flagstaff House in Accra. The team, led by Reverend Greg Johnson, is in the country with a medical team to offer outreach programs to the poor and needy. The institute is doing this in collaboration with the Ministry of Health, Cedar Mountain Chapel, Assemblies of God Ghana, and Meaningful Life International, an NGO. Reverend Johnson encouraged President Mahama to remain focused and steadfast even in the face of challenges. A report by Pascaline Adadivo.
The Global Leadership Training Institute has had a stint with Ghana since 2002. Its activities span across educating on good leadership and governance skills and offering humanitarian services. This time, the institute is working closely with the Minister of Health, Cedar Mountain Chapel, Assemblies of God, East Legon, and Meaningful Life International, an NGO, to offer health services to deprived persons. With its 34-member medical team, the institute has offered free medical care to more than 4,000 people in Accra and some communities. Residents of Aminase Bokiti in the Eastern Region have been provided with a borehole worth $10,000. 15 households in the same town were provided with cash donations to start small-scale businesses. The founder of the Global Leadership Training Institute, Reverend Greg Johnson, congratulated President Mahama on his ascension to the highest office of the land. He told President Mahama that even in the midst of challenges like energy stock exchange and a Supreme Court petition hearing, he must believe that God has planted his feet firmly to face the storm.
When God's people were facing challenges, that the Lord always raised up his choice leaders, his servants. And so God placed her there for such a time as this. And Your Excellency, I believe, and our team believes, that God has established you for such a time as this. And though it may appear that opposition rises, and that happens with all leaders, and as it did with Esther, I want to assure you that you also have your Mordecais around you, and that as opposing voices may rise up, God is faithful, and he raises up Mordecais.
President Mahama acknowledged that as a developing country, Ghana still has few hurdles to cross. He said he remains focused to solve them with time.
I want to welcome you and to express government's appreciation for the effort that you continue to make to reach out to the Ghanaian people. Ghana is a developing country, just above half a century old, and I believe that we can say that it is a young country and still faced with many challenges. I think that the mark that shows us as a determined people is that we're able to face those challenges and overcome them and build a better life for our people, which is what leadership is all about.
The Global Leadership Training Institute in 2011 conferred on President Mahama the Global Leadership for Excellence Award. Reverend Greg Johnson hints of another award next year for President Mahama's show of integrity in leadership.
That was Pascal Ngandadivo's report.
Meanwhile, President John Mahama left Accra yesterday for Brazzaville, Congo on a working visit. President John Mahama will hold discussions with his Congolese counterpart Denis Sassou Nguesso. On the sidelines, President Mahama will attend a high-level business meeting known as Fools Afrique Forum. The forum will discuss Africa's emerging economies and how to consolidate the gains made so far. Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachi Fosu, who announced this at the daily media briefing at Flagstaff House, said President Mahama returns home later today.
Africa has become a new frontier for business, and even as many economies around the world in otherwise developed or developed countries struggle to find their feet, African economies continue to make giant strides. It is against this backdrop that this top-level business meeting is being organized to seek the perspective of respected voices like President Mahama on the way forward, on how to ensure that Africa continues to witness the sort of growth and progress that it is having at this particular moment.
A Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachi Fosu.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Police asked to intensify security patrols, particularly in Accra and Kumasi, ahead of Supreme Court ruling. Judges challenged to demonstrate commitment to fight against corruption. Trial of businessman Alfred Agbesi Woyome takes a long break until October 16 this year, and Britons wake up to news of birth of another royal baby. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. hearing of the trial of businessman Alfred Abisi Woyome takes a long break until further orders by the Chief Justice, Presiding Justice John Ajet Nassam, yesterday adjourned the case to the 16th of October this year, as the prosecution indicated that its next witness was presently indisposed. The long break is because the courts are due for their 2012-2013 legal vacation. Mr. Woyome's counsel, Osafo Boabing, ended his cross-examination of the 8th prosecution witness, Suleiman Ahmed. Here's a report by Amasewa Bediako.
Mr. Ahmed, who is the acting chief director of the Ministry of Justice, said the balance of over 34 million cedis paid to Mr. Woyome in connection with CAN 2008 was during the tenure of office of Martin Amidu as Minister of Justice and Attorney General in 2011. He added, however, that he had not cited any correspondence by Mr. Amidu granting or objecting to the payments. He confirmed that, per the records, former Chief of Staff Henry Martin Newman was aware of payments made to Mr. Woyome in the position of the then Attorney General Betty Mould Idrisu to pay over 41 million cedis to Mr. Woyome because Madame Idrisu communicated all the correspondence to him. He admitted the opinion of the Chief Operations Officer of the Local Organizing Committee, Magnus Rex Dankwa, to Madame Idrisu on the claim of Mr. Woyome to the effect that an advice by any of the three-man financial committee that was set up was sufficient. As a result of his opinion, a member of the committee and head of the legal department at the Ministry of Finance, Paul Asimeni, wrote to Madame Idrisu justifying the 2% claim for financial engineering by Mr. Woyome. Mr. Ahmed also confirmed the signature of the Solicitor General, Amagezi, on a memo addressed to Mr. Amidu, advising on the weakness of the ministry's case against Mr. Woyome's claim. Mr. Amidu is said to have indicated that he neither initiated nor authorized the court action. The defense tendered in evidence the letter from Mr. Rex Dankwa of the LOC and the memo from the Solicitor General to Mr. Amidu through the witness. Amasewa Bidiako's report.
Still on legal issues, presiding judge of the Fast Track High Court, Justice Edward Amwakwasanti, has ordered the Attorney General and the Director of Prisons to produce musician Deba Champong on Thursday, the 25th of July. The court expressly directed that copies of the order be served on the two, particularly the senior state attorney representing the Attorney General in the matter before it, Comfort Tesiame. This order followed a request by Deba's counsel, Augustine Obor, to the court that the Attorney General be ordered to produce his client for the hearing of the appeal. Mr. Obor informed the court that since its last adjournment on Wednesday, Deba has since been extradited to the UK despite the dependency of his appeal. I beg your pardon. He said Deba was forced out but maintained he is willing to pursue the case. He indicated that the Attorney General's office had been served with a hearing notice as was directed by the court, but they failed to appear in court yesterday because of the new development in the case. Mr. Wu said prior to being flown out, Deba gave indications of wanting to be present at his appeal. At its sitting on last Wednesday, the court made an order setting aside the process filed by Mr. Obor on the habeas corpus motion because it had no copy of proper appeal filed. However, just after this order, Mr. Obor showed up in court with a copy of the filed process and a proof of service on the Attorney General. The decision by the court was then rescinded and Mr. Obor was directed to serve the Attorney General with a hearing notice. Deba is appealing against the decision of the district court to be extradited to stand trial for the 5 counts of rape in the UK.
Away from the court, a leading member of the NDC, Professor Kwame Nahoy, has appealed to Ghanaians to let the death of former President Professor John Evans Atta Mills unite the country. He noted that the late President Mills stood for peace, therefore his death should remind all of why he was named Asumdwihene. Professor Ahoy was speaking at the first of series of memorial lectures in honor of the late President Atta Mills in Accra. Here's a report by Rita Nyako and Victoria Haji.
Professor Ahoy, who was once a student of Professor Mills, described him as a religious man, sportsman, tax administrator, and a politician. According to him, Professor Mills was not only a member of the Legon Interdenominational Church, but to him, God came first in everything he did.
With Prof, God came first in everything. But I did not have to go to church to know this, because Prof acted it, Prof preached it, Prof lived it. God is in control was his mantra. Nyamino Sihin, God installs kings. God is in the castle where his constant reference.
Professor Hoy also described Professor Atta Mills as a man who cares for everybody. This is why he prefaced all his speeches with the greeting, "My brothers and sisters."
A report by Rita Nyaku and Victoria Haji.
The Minister for Local Government and Rural Development, Akwesi Opofusu, has advised the media to adopt best practices in disseminating information to the citizenry to empower them to demand accountability. Mr. Opofusu said when the citizenry are well informed, they can demand effective accountability from metropolitan and municipal assemblies who hold resources in trust of the people. The minister stated this when he launched the regional media network on social accountability in Accra.
In foreign news, supporters and opponents of ousted Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi have clashed in central Cairo and north of the capital, hurling stones at each other as security forces fired tear gas to try to disperse them. At least four people have been killed in the violence, which erupted when the two groups came into contact.
The wife of Prince William, Kate, has given birth to a baby boy who now becomes the third in line to British throne. Many Britons woke up to the news that Kate had gone into labor with the couple's first child. The birth of the baby boy was born at 4:24 p.m. local time, weighing 3.8 kilos. William and Kate's son is expected to follow Charles and William to the throne. A formal bulletin confirming the birth of a baby boy has been displayed at Buckingham Palace in London.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The executive director of West Africa Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi, has called on the Ghana Police Service to intensify security patrols in the Greater Accra and Ashanti regions ahead of the Supreme Court ruling. The Chief Justice, Mrs. Georgina Wood, has challenged judges to demonstrate commitment to the fight against corruption, is engaging in acts that undermine the sanity of the state. The trial of businessman Alfred Agbishiwoyomi takes a long break until further orders by the Chief Justice. Presiding Judge Justice John Ajit Nassam yesterday adjourned the case to the 16th of October this year. And many Britons woke up to the news that the wife of UK's Prince Kate has given birth to a baby boy. The new royal baby becomes the third in line to the British throne. The news was presented by Eugenia Sumedusechi
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.